New day, new show, hopefully new clone. Doubt that. Hey, clones, what's up? A very good Wednesday to you. I am Jim Rome, and today's program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience, some new topics, and some of the similar topics, because we're not getting away from the cheating scandal in Major League Baseball, try as we may. All right, nice to have you here. Lots of show for you today. It's a Wednesday, a podcast day, an ATP day. Got some really good interviews for you and a lot of good content. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Start dialing right now. I do have an interview coming up next segment, but never too soon to get yourself in the rotation. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Always do that. That's a good way to get through. You tweet the program. If it's a good tweet, I read it on the air. If it's a really good tweet, I will turn it around, reverse it, repop it, retweet it. Then you get more followers. It's a great game. Also, hit me up on email. We still take your emails at Rome, R-O-M-E, at HaveItTake.com. Coming up next segment, CJ Nikowski, MLB Network radio analyst. If I'm talking baseball with him, you know I've got a baseball take at the very top before I get to him. Next hour, the head basketball coach at BYU, Mark Pope. In hour number three, one of the newest members of the 2020 Pro Football Hall of Fame, Troy Polamalu. Hey, I got a phone number for you, too. A different phone number. Not that toll-free phone number. My personal phone number. Do me a favor. Put this in your phone right now. And you can tell it's got an area code of 949. It is my personal number. Hit me up any time of day, any time of night, during the week, during the weekends. If I do not pick up, and I might not, just leave me a voicemail. But understand the voicemail may be used on our podcast. Put this phone number in your phone right now, 949-385-0447. If I pick up, let it rip. Let me know what's on your mind. If I do not pick up, leave me a voicemail because the best ones do get used on our podcast. Quickly, 949-385-0447. I'm trying to get a tour stop announcement in before the end of the week. It's a good possibility that will happen. I've got an idea of where I want to go, what day I want to do it, and what the venue is. We are still dotting I's, crossing T's. I may have this for you by Friday. Keep listening. All right, so it's Wednesday. You have to think by midweek, pretty much everybody has gotten in their takes on the Astros and the commissioner by now. I mean, everybody who's wanted to say something has said it by now, so we can all just move on, right? Everybody has gotten everything out of their system, and we can finally turn the page and move on to something else, right? Wrong. I'd love to say that's where we are, but we're not. There are still plenty of takes coming in, and plenty of people are still coming in hot, like Yankees slugger Aaron Judge.
Do you think the Astros should be stripped of their 2017 championship?
I just don't think it holds any value. You cheated and you didn't earn it. You know, that's how I feel. Is it wasn't earned. You know, it wasn't earned the way of, you know, playing the game right and fighting till the end and knowing that, you know, we're competing. We're competitors. And the biggest thing about competition is laying it all out in the line and, you know, whoever's the better player, better person, you know, comes out on top, you know, and, you know, you just lay it out there and, you know, to know that another team had an advantage that, you know, nothing you can really guard against, that I just don't feel like that's earned or, you know, yeah, it's not earned.
Honestly, I would love to move on to the next thing. I really would, but that's not happening. That obviously is not happening. And in terms of Judge, I know where he's coming from, and that's a really, really strong take. Or it would be if the Yankees themselves had not been in a gray area previously. And what I mean by that is this. According to a report from The Athletic last month, quote, as far back as 2015, the Yankees used the video replay room to learn other teams' sign sequences. Quote, unquote. And there was this, quote, by 2017, with rules governing electronic sign stealing still lacking the specificity, that would come the next season. The Red Sox, Yankees, and Astros were all using the replay rooms to help decode sign sequences in some way, sources said. End quote. So, if you want to get into semantics and argue that the Yankees started doing that before the league issued that 2017 memo, we can certainly do that. And while I do not disagree with what Judge said, it would be a lot stronger coming from somebody else or another team that was not doing something similar to what has them so pissed off right now. But believe this, as it continues to unfold, there are definitely going to be some dudes in glass houses who are throwing gigantic boulders. And Judge was not the only guy going in on the commissioner yesterday. Far from it. Cubs pitcher John Lester picked up where Justin Turner left off, and he took a bat to Rob Manfred's comments about the World Series trophy being, quote, a piece of metal. Lester said, quote, that's someone that has never played our game. You play for a reason. You play for that piece of metal. I'm very proud of the three that I have. If that's the way he feels, then he needs to take his name off this trophy, end quote. Listen, we can have a serious debate about whether the commissioner handled the initial punishment correctly, but there is no debate that this weekend's interview that he had was an unmitigated disaster. In attempting to clean up a really bad situation, he somehow made it so much worse. In fact, he did the impossible. Manfred took a lot of the heat off the Astros and somehow put it on himself. If this guy were looking to fall on the sword himself, he executed that perfectly, except you know that was not the plan. Calling the World Series trophy, quote, a piece of metal.
Piece of metal.
Especially in this situation at this time, was an all-time bonehead move. You can't make that trophy. The thing that all these guys have spent their entire life grinding for and chasing. You can't take that and then call it a piece of metal.
Piece of metal.
Or a hunk of junk. Then you're just dumping all over the hard work that has been done to achieve it and disrespecting players who won that piece of metal previously, and the players who busted their asses, their entire careers, their entire lives, and still somehow didn't get anywhere near that, quote, piece of metal. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the great Tom Crabtree and the amazing tweet that he had back in the day. Quote, imagine you make a painting. It isn't perfect by other standards, but it's your painting. You are proud. Then somebody takes a bleep on it. End quote. Because in some players' eyes, Rob Manfred essentially just took a big dump on their trophy.
You'd have a big dump in
your... On your trophy.
You'd have a big dump...
On your trophy.
You'd have a big dump in your...
On your little hunk of metal. And Lester, man, he was just getting started. Quote, that's the first thing when people walk into my house. I take them to where my trophies are. I'm sure that hurt a lot of guys when they saw that, especially guys that haven't won it, that have been striving for years to try and get to it. I'm sure if Adam Dunn heard that, he played one playoff game in his whole career, he'd probably be pretty upset. It's a very, very special thing Manfred brought down significantly. End of quote. So do you think that guy's overreacting? I don't think so. Because the commissioner just took a big dump on their trophy.
You'd have a big dump in your...
Piece of metal.
Try it again, Alvin. You can do better. Get a big dump on your piece of metal.
You'd have a big dump in...
Piece of metal.
There you go, Alvin. Well done. And you know why this is not going to change or turn anytime soon? Because there might not be a sport that has more red asses than baseball. And I haven't seen these guys this red-assed about anything in a very long time. Maybe ever. So if you're looking for this just to blow over and for everybody just to keep moving, you are looking at the wrong sport and the wrong group of guys. Because Lester again says no one is ready to move on yet. At least not the guys who weren't cheating. Quote, I don't think this is going to get brushed under the rug. Guys were disappointed that players didn't get punished. He's the boss, man. He makes those decisions. End of quote. Right. Not only is he the boss, not only does he make those decisions, but he just took a big dump on your hunk of metal.
You have a big dump in
piece of metal.
Again, as much as the Astros and the commissioner want this to be swept under the rug, there is exactly zero chance of that happening. Because, once again, there may not be a sport with more red asses per capita than baseball. A sport legendary for guys freaking out, F-bombing each other, and looking to fight if somebody is somehow too slow out of the batter's box on a home run, or if somebody rips a bag with a 6-run lead. So take that kind of vitriol that these guys typically spit after somebody goes bat flip or pimps a home run, and then multiply it by infinity, and that's where we are right now. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. Much worse. How do I know? Because it's no longer just a baseball thing. How do I know? Because LeBron James just jumped into the cage with a weapon. He weaponized his Twitter feed, turning it into a blowtorch while attempting to burn the entire joint down. I wasn't there when he thumbed it out, but I would imagine that LeBron reached for his phone, cleared his throat with a, and then thumbed out the following, quote, "Listen, I know I don't play baseball, but I am in sports. And I know if someone cheated me out of winning the title and I found out about it, I would be bleeping irate. I mean, like, uncontrollable about what I would or could do." And he went on, and I quote, "Listen here, baseball commissioner. Listen to your players speaking today about how disgusted, mad, hurt, broken, etc. about this. Literally, the ball is in your court, or should I say field, and you need to fix this for the sake of sports. Hashtag, just my thoughts, coming from a sports junkie, regardless my own sport I play." I mean, holy crap. I'm not sure what's better. LeBron laying out how he'd be, quote, bleeping irate, or LeBron lighting him up as, "Listen here, baseball commissioner." I'm going to go with the latter. Man, that is some all-time disrespect. Quote, "Listen here, baseball commissioner," is amazing. Never has the term baseball commissioner been used as an insult like that until now. LeBron may as well have been saying, "Hey, old man," or maybe, "Look here, little man." I haven't seen LeBron get that fired up on Twitter since he dropped a, quote, "You bum," back in the day. And no, that is not a green light for bum smack here. And no, I don't want any more emails from irate Craig allegedly screaming, "Bum squad!" It's bomb squad, not bum squad. Stay on point, clones. And back to LeBron. That's amazing. Honestly, that's a star athlete in one sport coming out of nowhere to destroy the commissioner of another sport because he's a fan of the game and he's pissed off by how the commissioner's handling it. And then telling him, quote, "You need to fix this for the sake of sports." Hey, you got that, baseball commissioner? What's next? Lamar Jackson taking a run at the commissioner? Sid Crosby and Alex Ovechkin jumping on Facebook Live to smash the commissioner?
Rory McIlroy
taking to Instagram with a, "Listen here, baseball commissioner." How about the winner of Wilder Fury 2 demanding to face Manfred in the ring next? At this point, none of it would surprise me. The commissioner is on the mound right now, and he's getting absolutely shelled. And there's nobody up in the bullpen. Nobody's getting warm. Nobody's coming to save this guy. His arm is hanging, he's getting rocked, and there is no help on the way. What I'm saying is, this dude better find a way to make a pitch or two to work out, or he's going to be out there a hell of a long time. Even dopey Bud Selig would have never handled this badly. In simplistic terms, Robert, the way you took a dump on your player's trophy, it is safe to say you, my friend, also have a big dump in your pants for how you handled this entire thing.
You have a big dump in your pants.
It's going to get worse before it gets better. How do I know? LeBron is rushing in. When we come back, CJ Nikowski joins me. We'll get his thoughts. And I've got more on that presser, more on the situation, more on the heckling, which has already started, on the Astros. In other words, I would love to turn the page, but none of them are going to let me. Working out is hard. It's always been hard, but Bombas can make the toughest workout a lot more comfortable. Bombas Performance Socks are designed for everything from running to hiking to cycling and more. They're made with a lightweight polycotton blend, which means no matter how hard you're working, your feet will stay cool, dry, and comfortable, never sweaty. Bombas are built with a special arch support system that's supportive. It's not too tight, and they're left-right contouring, and a Y-stitched heel keep your socks perfectly in place. I'm talking serious sock technology. And that annoying toe seam that most socks have, Bombas got rid of that. Did you know that socks are the number one most requested item in homeless shelters? Bombas socks were created to change that. Because for every pair you buy, Bombas donates a pair to somebody in need. So go to bombas.com/Jim Rome right now. Get 20% off your first purchase. And you're helping out. You're giving back. That's bombas.com/Jim Rome. Get 20% off. bombas.com/Jim Rome.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. As I mentioned at the very top, I'd love to turn the page. I would love to move past this. It's not happening. It's not happening anytime soon. Not when, one, Major League Baseball is not ready to, and two, now you have other icons jumping into the fight that have nothing to do with it, like LeBron James thumbing out tweets, calling out the commissioner. Now, we're not getting by this anytime soon. Joining me right now to talk about this further is a 10-year MLB vet. He was the 9th pick overall in the 94 draft. He is a broadcaster for the Texas Rangers. He is a host on MLB Radio, and he is still America's foremost authority on travel etiquette. He is CJ Nikowski. CJ, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. And I feel exactly the same way you do. It's like, even for us, we're all, you know, all baseball channel when I'm doing radio. We're like, oh, let's get past it. But you can't. It's more and more keeps coming out, and there's more things that need attention.
But that's the truth, isn't it? So what do you make of how the last month has played out? I would love to get by, but we can't. What about the entire last month? What do you make of that?
Yeah, it's been pretty wild. I think that when the commissioner first came out with everything, I was pretty satisfied. I thought it came out pretty strong. Quite honestly, right? The year suspensions for Jeff Luhnow and for A.J. Hinch and then for Jim Crane to go on top of that and fire both of those guys was pretty fascinating. That one really blew me away. And it looked like Jim Crane was about to step in and say, you know what, enough is enough. Because they had a bunch of messes going back to the middle of last season, right? Justin Berlander wouldn't allow a reporter in the clubhouse. Then they had the thing during the postseason where you had the assistant GM that got fired for, you know, yelling at a couple of female reporters, and they just botched all of those. And it seemed like Jim Crane was over it, and he was dropping the hammer. And then he started to step on himself a little bit, and probably more than a little bit, when he was contradicting himself through his entire press conference. And the idea that, you know, these guys are saying that they're sorry, but they dig their heels in when it comes to talking about the postseason and us wanting to have the conversation about the World Series in 17 being tainted. They just will not relent on that, which has made it worse. But the biggest surprise in all this for me, Jim, is I've been shocked at how players have reacted. I mean, this player-on-player hate to a level that I certainly wasn't expecting. And as you mentioned, some big names, too, and some guys that don't talk very often. Like Mike Trout's pretty quiet. He talked about how upset he was. We heard Judge, you know, pretty straightforward guy. And then Nick Markakis is saying that there was guys in that clubhouse yesterday that need a beating. I mean, that's all really shocking to see players come out, and Cody Bellinger as well, as strong as they have against Astros players.
CJ Nikowski joining us. So, CJ, why is that? Why are they so offended by that? Why do you think players are lashing out the way they are?
I think it probably has to do with some of the smugness that we have seen from the Astros players, right? There hasn't been a lot of contrite attitudes in what we've heard from these guys. And, you know, they've always been an organization that has a little edge to them. They're confident in what they do. I think the first couple of apologies from Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve at their fan fest did not go over well at all. I mean, it was almost as if, like, yeah, I know we got caught, but we don't care. And then they had those guys basically read for about 30 seconds in the press conference at spring training, and that wasn't really well received. And so I think that's the frustration there. And then the pushback on the postseason, or the pushback on the idea that they didn't have that much of an advantage. I mean, the fact that Aaron Judge, I know it's so 2020, but the idea that he deleted a tweet congratulating Jose Altuve on winning the MVP back in 17, and he couldn't even have that up anymore. He was so disgusted. It's really amazing. But these guys feel cheated, and they're frustrated because, you know, as far as these Astros players go, there really hasn't been anything that they felt outside of the pushback from fans and the pushback from some of their own within the game. But they're still going to get paid. They're still keeping rings. In the case of Jose Altuve, he's keeping an MVP trophy from 2017. And there really is no effect outside of a bad reputation.
CJ Nikowski joining us. I think you hit on the two key points for me, CJ. Number one, they don't seem like they're all that sorry. They don't seem like they're all that contrite. They're sorry they're in this position, but I'm not sure they're sorry what they did. And the other point is the commissioners tried to argue that the Astro players have already faced a punishment because their names are tied to this and their accomplishments have been tainted, even if they didn't get that title taken away. I mean, in your opinion, is that enough? Have they paid any price at all?
I mean, it'll be rough for them, but it should be much worse. You know, it's so interesting, man. Like to see, first of all, we've seen in spring training, and they're already starting to hear it a little bit. And, you know, it even goes back to a part of, remember, Justin Verlander, of course, won the Cy Young Award and kind of joked a little bit about this whole situation when he received his award, which didn't go over
really
well.
He fell flat, right?
These things just keep kind of adding up. And listen, Alex Bregman could have won the MVP this year. You could have made an argument that he should have won it. That would not have gone over really well either. But so that's what's kind of led us to this point, and that they continue to kind of have these attitudes, man. It hasn't been great for the game, but this was a necessary evil, no doubt. But yeah, we have to try to have this conversation. It's tough to do, right? Like, what would they really do anything different? Like you said, are they really, really sorry? I mean, put yourself in the shoes of any of those guys. You still have your MVP. You still have your ring. In case of Jose Altuve, you still have your $168 million contract extension. Alex Bregman still has his $100 million contract extension. Nothing has really changed for them outside of that. You know, they took part in ruining a couple of careers in A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow. Now we'll see how things bounce back over the next couple of years. I'm not overly optimistic for their GM, but maybe for A.J. Hinch, we'll see. But, you know, outside of that, they haven't really faced much. And I think the criticism they can handle because they get to keep all the stuff they really want.
Right. In other words, cheating does pay. I mean, it does. I'm not saying it's right. I don't condone it. But in that sense, it really does pay. Now, you've made the point that initially you were opposed to the idea of stripping or vacating the 2017 World Series title. But now you believe there's an argument that could be made for doing that. Can you break that down? What changed for you and what's the argument for it now?
Yeah, so you're listening to Rob Manfred talk about precedent. I kind of agreed. It seemed like it was taking it too far. I hate when we see that in the NCAA, and you certainly can't award it to another team. You can't automatically give it to the Dodgers. But the more people that I've listened to and the more I've seen this thing kind of unfold and the real anger for the players, suspensions were never a real thing. They were never a possibility. I know people are frustrated, but it just wasn't a reality in this investigation. I mean, players were going to get suspended. So what could really hurt? And based on it, going back to the way that Jim Crane, from the very top to the bottom, Jim Crane, the owner, and then all the way down to that clubhouse, everyone has dug in and said, no, it didn't affect the World Series. You know how important it is to them. And it's important to this franchise because, you know, they went through that rebuild. We all kind of laughed at them a little bit, like, what are the Astros doing? And they were justified in their actions because they won a World Series. So, okay, you know what? You've got to take them seriously. What they did actually worked, and they kind of got the last laugh. Well, you take that away from them, and all of a sudden that legacy of this new group of Astros, and I know their GM's gone anyway, so it's going to feel different going forward, but all of a sudden that entire thing is shot. And, you know, for these billionaire owners, man, I mean, it's you know, these owning an organization, I mean, it's, you know, first of all, it's tough to come by, and this is kind of like your toy, your point of pride. These guys have been successful in so many other areas of business, but you cannot buy a World Series ring, right? Your team has to go out there and earn it, and everything has to come together, and you can have the nicest watch and the nicest car and the sweetest pad, you know, vacation pad, but that World Series ring that you get to bring to your other billionaire buddies, they can't have one. They can't get one. And the idea of telling the Astros that they have to give it back, not to look at the physically give the rings back, but that would be vacated, to me, sends as a bigger message that I didn't think needed to be sent, but based on all these reactions, and I don't think we'll see it, but it's probably the only one that actually would get through at this point.
CJ Nikowski joins me for another few moments. CJ, what about this notion of pitchers retaliating against the Astros on the field? What's your reaction when you hear that, and how likely is it, and to what extent do you think it'll be?
Yeah, you got to be careful. I know that once you have the uniform off, you have a tendency to think a little bit more clear-headed than when you have it on, and there are some guys that are really upset. There's been guys that have been pretty outspoken about that fact, but the commissioner's trying to get out in front of it. Will we see it? Probably. I don't think we're going to see it a ton. And as much as I'm as angered and frustrated with the Astros as everybody else, it's not necessarily the right way, in my opinion, to go out and start targeting a bunch of these guys. And, you know, the idea of guys getting hurt or having career-ending injuries, taking a fastball up too high, doesn't change anything. And I don't think that's necessarily the proper retaliation. We'll see it, I think, a couple of times. So now we're going to see whether or not or how both the umpires and then eventually Major League Baseball try to judge intent, right? That's the hardest thing. I mean, the Astros were hit 66 times last year. The Mets led all of baseball with 95 hit by pitches. Like, guys are going to get hit. What I don't want to see happen is all of a sudden starters roll into Houston or any pitcher for that matter and they feel like they got to be careful throwing inside because they don't want to get kicked out of the game. Like, if there's a pitcher that's kicked out of the game because he hits a guy in the second inning and there was no intent behind it, that manager's going to go crazy. I mean, he's going to lose his mind. He's going to get ejected as well. And so it's going to be a balancing act, and hopefully Major League Baseball will lean on the side, at least in-game, that it wasn't intentional, and if they need to kind of sift through it after the fact, and they do. I know Dusty Baker's worried about it, and he's already brought it up, but there'll be some incidents this year, no doubt.
Hey, listen, I think this is such a key point that you just made. I mean, can you imagine if people right now are already so frustrated and so angry, and then the point is made that you cannot come inside, or they think they can't come inside because of what's gone down. Does that not give Houston an advantage all over again?
Exactly, and for any hitter, right, they'll tell you if they only have to worry about one side of the plate, just like knowing what pitch is coming, that's a huge advantage. And so, you know, it happens anyway, even in these situations that are different than how obviously extreme this one is, where sometimes umpires feel like there was an intentional hit by pitch, and there really wasn't, right? It was just the guy trying to work the inside of the plate, and it got away from him a little bit, and that's why I say judging intent is one that really bothers me. My favorite thing to watch, which I didn't really think too much about today, it's really incredible that the All-Star game is going to be in Los Angeles this year at Dodger Stadium. I mean, and at least one Astro has to be there. I'm really curious to see how they'll do in the voting this year. And Dusty Baker, of course, a former Dodger, has to manage that team. He doesn't get to pick. They got rid of that rule where the manager gets to pick some of his own players. That's over with. But the idea that there could be some Astros suiting up this year in Los Angeles at Dodger Stadium for the All-Star game could be pretty amazing.
That is going to be fascinating. CJ, one last thought. Because you're a broadcaster with the Rangers, you don't travel with the general public as much as you used to, but there's no way that you come on here and I don't ask you something about etiquette. You tweeted recently that the most famous person you ever sat next to on a plane was CeeLo Green. How did that go? And more importantly, how was his travel etiquette?
It was pretty good. So he had the window and I had the aisle. It was an overnight. It was a red-eye flight from Atlanta to New York. When I used to work in L.A., that Atlanta to New York flight, it was pretty steady, or excuse me, Atlanta to L.A. It's not Atlanta to New York, but a decent amount of celebrities because there's so much going on in Atlanta these days and so much filming. And so I'd always see a handful of celebrities when I took that flight pretty consistently. But, you know, one thing that my wife had said to me, and always, and I had to look when I was there, she's like, you ever notice how small his hands were? Like, she had said that to me before I had sat next to him, and I couldn't help. I was trying not to stare. But his etiquette was off the charts. He was actually really nice and friendly. And nothing but good things to say about CeeLo Green and our, not that he remembers it, but our 5.5 hours together.
I love it. A 10-year MLB vet, 9th pick overall in 94. He is a broadcaster for the Texas Rangers. He is a host on MLB Radio. And again, America's foremost authority still on travel etiquette. CJ, I appreciate you. Great to have you back. And thank you for always doing the show.
You got it, Jim. Take care, man. Have a great day.
You too. CJ, thanks so much. That's a pro's pro. CJ Nikowski. You know, it's funny. He and I come out on the same page on a lot of that stuff. I was quick to say when it first went down, if you're looking for Rob Manfred to rip that 27 world title, that's not going to happen. And it's still not going to happen. But I'm certainly more open to it right now because nothing has happened to the players. And this is why the opposing players are so unhappy. A player-driven scandal. Remember, Manfred said that in his report. It's a player-driven scandal, yet there's been no punishment for the players, and this is why all the other players are so unhappy. And because of what he just said, because a number of the Astros have been pretty smug in the way they've handled it. I would love to move on. It's impossible. There's something new every single day, and now when you've got guys like LeBron breaking out a blowtorch, getting out his phone, and before thumbing out a tweet or two or an entire thread, saying, "Oh!" And then lighting the commissioner on fire? Yeah, we're not over this yet. All right, some other topics quickly as we go to break. C-Town had a day. Cleveland, I think you know, is a national voice and somebody with a national platform. I've always had your back. I still have your back, but you had yourselves a day. It's not your fault. It just happened to you again. C-Town cannot catch a break. I've got that story for you. More on Rob Manfred. Believe it or not, there is more. He tried to fix it yesterday by again getting in front of the media. Part of his problem was he got in front of the media, but then he tried to do it again yesterday. That tells you how bad things are that he tried that again. The Astros hit the field. And let's just say, I understand they're going to get heckled. It better be more creative than what I saw yesterday, or it's going to be a long, long year. You can do better. All of that is still ahead. Mark Pope, next hour. Troy Polamalu in hour number three. Podcast Wednesday, I will tell you about that too. Capital One knows life does not alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong with your credit card, like over-tipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud. What happens is it sends an alert to your phone. That way you can fix it. Also, use Eno to get virtual card numbers to better protect yourself when you shop online. It's another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you are not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Time now for me to remind you it's Wednesday, so that's where Bella B asked me a question. It's the Ask the Pros Day, where one of you, and hopefully not her, because she is so much better at it than the rest of you. I mean, no offense, Bella. I appreciate the input. It would just be nice if somebody other than you were to win that contest. You asked me a question, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Ask me a question. Listen later on. I will answer one of them. And think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, some quick reaction. Good phone calls on hold. Stay there. Next hour, BYU head basketball coach Mark Pope. Troy Polamalu, member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2020, in hour number three. Dear Rome, it was just a piece of metal.
Piece of metal.
Signed, Tonya Harding. War. Why? Dan in Seatown. All right, you're confusing a piece of metal with a lead pipe. A lead pipe that was used to smash her main opposition on the knee with. And to this day, I don't think there will ever be a more amazing story in sports than that one. I mean, go ahead. Tell me one. I'm all ears. What do you think, Alvin? You're making a face at me. You're making that constipated face at me. I don't know. I mean, there's a major, major, major rivalry brewing here in L.A. I don't think LeBron is going to take a lead pipe to Kawhi Leonard's calf. Because he feels like they can't win. It was just a piece of metal signed Tonya Harding.
Piece of War. Metal.
Why? Nancy, I've answered this question a million times. Because no matter how hard she worked, she knew she couldn't beat you. That's why she did that. It didn't matter who her trainer was. It didn't matter how many hours she logged daily on the ice. It didn't matter what kind of routine she choreographed. Why? Because she wanted to be rich and famous, and you were standing in her way. So she had one of her goons take a lead pipe to you. That's why. Look at this. This guy, I think, is serious. I think. Hi, Jim. I love the show. You are always saying it's cold in your studio. I make yarn blankets and neck scarves. Can I please make you one? And what colors would you like? Chad and Eureka. War Team Bake. No way, bro. You make yarn blankets and scarves and you bake? No way. All right, Chad. Before I rush in with a lead pipe, let me ask you this. Are you being nice? Are you just trying to help me out? Or are you trying to sell me something? And shouldn't you be making hemp necklaces with all the cool beads or hacky sacks? Bro, there's nobility in all work, and I know you're doing what you got to do or you're doing what you're good at. Who are you, my grandmother? Are you going to knit me a sweater? No, I'm respectfully, thank you. Thank you, Chad. But no, thank you. No, I don't need a yarn blanket or a neck scarf. I need somebody to fix the bleeping thermostat right here. That's what I need. And you know what else I need? I need somebody to fix the bleeping clock right here. That's what I need. And I need somebody to fix Hawk's bleeping car. So he doesn't hit me up at 4:30 in the morning with, yo, boss, I'm calling AAA right now. Well, you and I got to get caught up on that. I'm not even sure what happened. In terms of the clock, like, I've got a clock on my computer, which I know is right, 9:49. The clock on my desk says 9:56. Something's not right here. Hey, Chad, you want to help me out? Fix my freaking clock. Fix my thermostat, bro. But thank you for the offer of a yarn blanket. A yarn blanket. Or a neck scarf. Hey, bro, where were you when I was freezing my ass off in Kansas City? That's when I needed your yarn blanket. Hey, Rome. I sincerely apologize for using the phrase piece of metal.
Piece of metal.
When in actuality, it is a remarkable marvel of metallic engineering forged from amazingly strong material to withstand incredible forces while never bending. Sincerely, Jules, orthodontist, describing her retainer. I long ago banned emails from Jules, orthodontist. So who do you think would ignore that and send me that? Of course, Denlesk's trophy husband is how he signed it. Unwore that pointy hook thing the dental hygienist plunged 6 inches into your tooth socket to extract food that's been there since elementary school. How else are they going to get it out, Denlesk's? That little plastic water pick is not going to get that food out from deep in your tooth or in your skull from elementary school. Hey, Rome, Brady is going to make any interested teams come to him and beg and plead their case. Now he's speaking our language. Regards, guys who whistle at the cart girls on the golf course and guys who would have went pro if they didn't get hurt their sophomore year. Signed, Mitch from Buffalo. Sending it. Hey, Mitch, do me a favor. Stop sending it. And finally, I asked the question yesterday. If you know that I'm going to reboot the toy stop, where do you think that first stop's going to be? If there was a site taking action on it, who would you get down on? Who would you bet? Who do you think would win? This guy writes, yo, Rome, here are my top 5 guesses as to which city is going to host your revamp toy stop. Los Angeles, Albuquerque, Crapchester, C-Town, the bright and upcoming city of Buffalo, Portland, Houston, Rosemead, Miami, Chicago, New York, Richmond, VA, San Diego, Vancouver, Tokyo, Moscow, Madtown, Rancho Cucamonga. Signed, Magic. War ice fishing with Bill Plaschke.
You know why the people here can sit through the game.
Why, Plaschke?
Plaschke, how do the people of Green Bay sit through Packer football
games? After sitting in a branch for 6 hours waiting for a deer to run underneath a branch, you can sit in the stands after sitting on a sheet of ice trying to kill a sturgeon with a spear. How many people here have ever tried to kill a sturgeon with a spear? That's all I want to know. Yeah, look at them. Look at all of them. Who in the hell tries to kill a sturgeon with a spear? It's the truth. They sit on ice. They sit on ice, and they watch for the fish. And then they stick that spear down through the ice to get the fish. Is that right? Look, it's right. Am I right? No way you can sit through a Packer game.
One of my favorite moments in the history of this show. Legitimately. 1996. Bill Plaschke of the LA Times taking on an entire bar of angry Packer fans, challenging them and asking, how many of you have tried to kill a sturgeon with a spear? And one of them screaming, you're next! Who? Bill Plaschke is a Hall of Famer in my mind. He's amazing. All right, open phones. Open phones. Guaranteed phone call or two. Next segment. So if you're on hold, do not hang up. It might be you. Mark Pope, next hour. And more. Stay tuned.